Lot Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
Is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We hail. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron show and past the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Ruff.
Yes. Today,
Love Talk Radio.
This one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, then the people talk a lot about their training staff.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
Welcome to RFG One Mic. This is your host, one of your co-hosts, D. Wilts. And we want to welcome you to one of our podcasts that's on our Real Sports Guys platform. We want to encourage you all, before we get started, to go to realsportsguys.com to connect with all things Real Sports Guys. Or if you just want to listen to us, catch us on the podcast, you can do it on Blog Talk Radio, or you can catch us on iTunes or any other podcast platform. We are here and ready to go. It's a great show that we're going to have today. We're expecting a special guest to join us tonight, all things go well. Sean Higgins, a former member of the National Championship Team in 1989, National Championship Team in Michigan, to join us to talk about the hire at Michigan. What does it mean to have Juwan Howard come home and what that's going to look like? So we're excited to have a conversation with him. But before I proceed, I got to bring in my co-hosts, the folks who kind of keep together with me, keep me going, keep me strong. Let me start with the young and night, my man Darnell. How you doing?
Ball squad. What's understood? Don't need to be explained. He hit that boy so hard, make a field in Brazil.
Yes.
It was a wonderful night of boxing.
It was a wonderful night of boxing, and we're gonna definitely hit that. That's gonna be a topic we're gonna hit here in the open mic. And you know, we definitely he's excited, so we know we're gonna hear from the young and Darnell. We'll have a lot more to talk about that fight and things around. Boxing was a thrilling night in boxing, but I got to bring in my man with nothing but straight jab in his pocket. My man Hank, how you doing, Hank?
Hey, I'm doing real good. And you know what? Those old schools always got a puncher's chance to knock them out the box. So you know, I want to take this opportunity to also wish each and every one of our listeners a very, very happy and a very, very safe Memorial Day weekend. The official, unofficial start of summer starts right now.
That's right. And you know, that means we're going to get some more of those Inside the Park episodes that Hank will hit. You know, that baseball season, that's where it starts to rev up. And so we're going to look forward to that as well as also activating our other podcasts on our platform. So it's exciting. It's exciting right now. And as I said, here in a little bit, we'll have a chance to talk to, you know, one of the alums of the Michigan program and get that Michigan perspective on what's been happening there. I had a chance to watch Jalen Rose this morning. He was clean, you know, wearing that maize, that blue suit with the maize stripes, you know. So a lot of energy going around with Juwan coming home and what that's going to mean. And building on what John Beilein, put together in his 12-year run at Michigan, and really getting it back into that national conversation. So we're excited to hear about that. But, you know, our show, if you're a first-time listener, we enter the open mic, then we get to the cipher, which is the heart of our conversation, and if we have a special guest. And then we always got to end, you know, it's one of those things that we do culturally, is we end with the elder with the last word, we're dropping the mic. But so we're going to enter the open mic right now, and get it going. And we have a couple of topics we're going to hit in on that we're going to push around. And I'm going to start with, till this day, I got to bring the youngin' in. You know, that man Wilder had a saying that went around the world when he said, till this day. But he also had a right hand that was felt around the world on Saturday night. Man, tell me what your thoughts were like when you watched it unfold.
Well, you know, I predicted it.
Yes,
I said I would
did.
Be very surprised if it gets outside of the first three rounds. But even though I expected it to be an early knockout, it didn't make me any less excited to see it. When I saw it, I jumped out of my seat and ran around the house. It was crazy. But I pulled a Hank for all of our listeners. I pulled a Hank on a Hank Davis. But I got a question for you. Where does Wilder's power rank for you compared to the greats? If you have the power of like an Ernie Shavers or a George Foreman to you, or where would you rate his powers?
Wow, I would say it's that, but it's almost like those are like atomic bombs where like it was like thickness hitting you. His is almost like a missile, meaning the power is just so explosive and exact versus, you know, if George just touched you, you fell down. You know what I'm saying? Or Ernie Shavers touched you, it was like a blunt force. You know, he's like a heat-seeking missile. So, it's got to be up there because it's like it almost seems like those fighters hit you with kind of a thud it doesn't seem like they swung with the speed, like, and I think a lot of it has to do with his athleticism, that it comes with so much quickness. Whereas, you know, they swung, but it was just like it was that traditional power where if they touch you on anything, you know, you're gonna fall. But it just seems like he comes with so like his speed from when he kind of winds up and explodes through you is at such a high rate that has something to do with the power. Versus those guys just being kind of big guys that just hit you in almost like a Rick Mahorn love tap and you just fell out. You know what I'm saying? That it's different and it's hard to judge. And I think that's why his looks so spectacular. And I think a lot of it has to do with his build because those guys had mass, right? They had mass, and he's a basketball player. He's like a wing. You know what I'm saying? That's hitting it. And so you know he has power, but he when he come in like at 223? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's 6'7", 220, yeah.
6'7", 230. So
he's probably around the same size as Justin Winslow, probably. He's about that size.
Yeah, so it looks different than those two, but his power, you know, all time, is up there. Because the way he's doing it, he's touching up elite fighters like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least in his era, he's touching them up and they laying down, and other than Tyson Fury, you know, who did the Undertaker move, you know, they're not getting up. And I don't know what Brazil was talking about.
No, Tyson Fury laid down too. Tyson Fury,
yeah. Oh, he laid down.
He went to sleep. No, he went to sleep and then the ref woke him up. But he still got up.
Somebody,
credit, he got up.
Put some gypsy dust on him or something. He got right up. It looks, the way it looks is different. You know, where you feel like you get hit by mass with those other two and some of the other heavyweights, even like Mike Tyson, it's like that mass is hitting you, whereas it feels like he just hitting you with a slingshot and you just bam, and it's accurate. Hank, what was your feeling?
But Mike Tyson, okay.
Let me hear what Hank was going to say. Hank, what's your feeling?
Listen, when I saw the 12 seconds of that fight, when I saw that, That was one of them PlayStation knockouts. That's what that was. Okay, that was one of them knockouts. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't like you bring up a Mike Tyson, you bring up an Ernie Shavers, okay? Where what you saw with a Mike Tyson was he would get inside of you, leverage you on the inside, and bust you with that uppercut. You're going to sleep, okay? The rest of the fighters you talked about, you know, they might try to punish you a little bit. Then they might catch you with one of those punches. But what I saw Wilder do was come out, He threw one punch. That's superhero stuff, okay? He threw one punch, and it was an overhand punch, okay? And normally when you start a fight, you come out with a form overhand punch like that, you might stagger the man, but he put this man to sleep. I ain't never seen anything like it. So, you know, I want to see him some more. I know that with his athleticism, as we've talked about, as well as his height. You know, he's coming from 6'7", okay? So he can drop that punch right on your jaw, okay, with accuracy if he's stepping in, okay? And that's that same type of punching ability that a young George Foreman used to have. The young George Foreman used to punch like Batman, okay? Truly, when you go back to the Down Gold Frazier fight, he used to punch like Batman did in the comic books, all right? And this is kind of the way I look at it. Seriously, all the thing you needed was the word bubble, you know, bam, pow, oof, you know? But that's what I saw here, you know, knocked out, you know? So that's what I saw here. So definitely caught my eye out, because I was one of those that said damn with about 16 A's in the middle, because I hadn't seen that before.
And Darnell, you were going to say something as we were comparing. You were going to say something about Tyson in terms of comparison.
Oh yeah, because you're talking about how Ernie Shavers and George Foreman has more of a thudding power. Their power is more brute strength, and Deontay Wilder's power is more of like an explosion. But I would say the same thing for Mike Tyson as well. Mike Tyson's power was Evander Holyfield explained this in the interview. He said George Foreman hit harder, but Mike Tyson's power was a sharper power because it was more explosive. But when George Foreman hit him, he at the end of the round, he went to the corner and said he had to make sure he had all of his teeth in. He thought George knocked his teeth out. So that was a different type. It was a different type of power right there. So that was what I was going to bring up.
It truly depends on where the words landed, okay? If you talk about the Evander Holyfield, the man had a cedar brick for a head, okay? And the thing is, he took a lot of punishment and was just able to withstand it and get those fighters into later rounds. He did it with Tyson. He did it with Foreman. But Foreman, like you said, he would bludgeon you to death, okay? But it may not be where it would hurt. Okay, it might rattle you, but it may not knock you out. Mike Tyson could put that uppercut right on the point of your jaw. You're going to sleep. Okay, you're going to sleep. And that was what he had Custy Amato really teaching him, to really pinpoint accurately, throw those power shots and put those fighters. And I see that with Wilder. Okay, because you look at where Wilder put that punch on Brazil. It was like he really knocked him back into Brazil.
The killer was just all the reactions. I mean, Twitter. I mean, you add social media into it, it amplifies the experience for it. I mean, Wilder's reaction post it. You know, boxers' reactions, athletes' reactions. I mean, folks lost their minds on that thing, and I was like, man, I thought he was about to catch a case. You know, I think he might not get up. You know, he talked about getting that body. He might not get up. I thought he was going to catch a case on this one. So that one was the one that that got me. And the fact that, you know, he did exactly what he did. But what I did appreciate was the fact that they were able to somewhat at the end, you know, dust off a lot of that animosity that they had as pre-fight in terms of building up to the fight. So it was good that they were able to squash some of that, you know, at the end of the fight. So that was always a good thing. One of the things I want to hear.
But I agree.
What you
say? I was gonna say I agree with Hank. That was a cartoon knockout, because if you saw, Dominic Brazil was on the ground doing snow angels.
Oh yeah, he was, and he said he could continue to fight. That wasn't gonna work that way. We got one more topic before we bring in our special guest. I want y'all to hit here for a minute. Drake. Like, Drake in the middle of everything, man. Like, Drake is in the middle of everything. Drake is in the middle of everything. You know, and what's y'all reaction to that? All the conversation around that.
Let me say this, okay? First of all, I got one question. Who keeps giving Drake field and court passes? I mean,
he's
this
global
cat
ambassador.
Gets everywhere. Huh?
He's a global Here ambassador.
Again?
He's a global
he
ambassador.
He most certainly is. I mean, but he has no loyalty to nobody. All right? He was on the field in Ann Arbor. He was on the court in East Lansing. Now he's in Toronto. Okay? And he's always got that old crazy grin. All right? I can promise you, you know, I'm old school. I'm like, who is this cat? All right? And it's like, why is anybody allowing him to get under their skin? It cracks me up because this is in the Eastern Conference. This is a very interesting Eastern Conference. This is one of the first Eastern Conference finals, okay, in the last, what, 7-8 years, okay, that did not involve LeBron James, maybe longer than that, that did not involve LeBron James, all right? And you've got two budding superstars, or two superstars now that are trying to capture the attention, okay? The Greek Freak, okay? You got but you got them two, and who gets the spotlight? Drake, okay? And of all people that's giving him the spotlight, it's the ex the ex agent of the Greek Freak. Why say anything?
And I hear what you're saying, but before we get too far into it, we got a special guest that we want to bring in.
Okay.
So we'll come back to Drake. We're not gonna let Drake mess up our show. Drake gonna have to wait because we got a guest bigger than that. I want to welcome to the show one of Michigan's own, member of the national championship 1989 team. To me, I already told him that had one of the best dunks in the Final Four I've ever seen over Lowell Hamilton. I love that story. He talked about it. But now Michigan's back on the map with Juwan Howard. And so we're glad to have with us on the show my man Sean Higgins. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Man, we're doing well. I appreciate you, making time to be here. It's a good time. You're on the phone with myself, my co-host, Hank Davis and Darnell Kirkland. They'll chime in and ask some questions here in a minute. But we definitely want to talk about this. For the few of us on the phone, we all have a connection to that area. So the hiring of Howard was important to us in many different ways. But I think it's a really important story myself for college basketball. And before we get into talking about Juwan in Michigan, as someone who was just recently on campus, as y'all being honored for y'all championship in 1989, how would you capture the work that John Beilein did to kind of set Michigan up to this moment?
Well, I think what he did, he changed the culture. You know, before he got there, there was a cloud over the program, and you know, we all know what that was about. But John Beilein changed the culture of our program. He came in. He had a structure of his core values, and he brought in kids that bought into it. And, you know, the University of Michigan, you know, our pedigree is all about character, integrity, and doing things the right way on and off the court. And so I think Coach Beilein did a great job of establishing that culture and the brand. And I think Juwan Howard coming in now have an opportunity to continue that.
One of the things I as I listen to even Jalen talk about, you know, prior as people were, considering and thinking about the possibility of Juwan being the coach there, you know, a lot of times when they mention it, that your name and Glenn and Loy and, you know, people don't understand the impact that your team actually had on those guys in terms of how they view Michigan basketball and that connectivity between your national championship group You know, Rob Winker played with them. He also played with you. You know, there's some connectivity there, but you can also tell the impact that y'all have on them when I hear them speak publicly when they talk about – they only talk about themselves coming back, but they talk about the way of reengaging folks like you in the program. As people were considering Howard, how was the buildup of, you know, you as alums, and how did y'all engage in that process? What does this mean to y'all, you know, as an alumni community, even beyond how people frame it about the Fab Five?
Well, you know, just to kind of, you know, backtrack a little bit, you know, the Fab Five, man, you know, those kids, especially Jalen and Chris being from Michigan, those are like our little brothers. You know, I remember Jalen and Chris coming up and playing in the Sandy Sanders League with us in the summer. They're in ninth grade. And, you know, we're grown men, and they're holding their own against us. And so they got a chance to watch us play every day. I heard Jalen today talk about how we were his squad. He was on ESPN and talked about how our 89 team was his squad when he was coming up as a youngster. And I think what we did when we were able to, you know, win a national title, when it's the way we played and carried ourselves, it kind of it influenced those guys. And, you know, once Jalen and Chris – well, Juwan actually signed first with the Fab Five, and then the rest of the guys followed, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how it went down. But, you know, him only being from Chicago, he was right around the corner, so he got a chance to see us play all the time as well. So, you know, that resonated with them. and just the fact, you know, that, you know, B-Line really started the whole cavalry of bringing us back and acknowledging the former players. And, you know, that's another feather in his hat for doing that. And it's going to help recruiting, you know, when young players can see the tradition and the backstories of University of Michigan basketball and bringing in a former player and bringing in an alumni. All that resonates, you know, with our program nationally.
I think that's important. And, you know, one of the things I always try to capture in terms of this, the bridge of this, is that, you know, B-Line was, he had 278 wins, 150 losses in 12 seasons. You know, we all, you know, Big Ten championships, appearances in the title game. So he really built the program. One of the things that I know people have talked about over the years is you as someone who has, you know, grew up in the Ann Arbor area, understands, you know, just the landscape of Michigan, and everything else. There's always been this idea that Michigan kind of gave up its share of recruiting in places like Flint and Saginaw and Detroit and places like that also could bring quality players to the university. How do you think the hiring of Howard does to kind of, you know, a place where, you know, for Michigan State, for the most part, is kind of, you know, they're like the Miami Hurricanes. They kind of drew a circle around it. How do you see Howard being able to interrupt that?
Well, I think that's the way to combat that, because Michigan State was able to, you know, grab a lot of those blue chippers from us in the state, you know, just from the fact that they had more NBA players recently than we have. I mean, you talk about Tim Hardaway Jr. Nick Stauskas. You know, that's just recent. But if you go down the list, you're talking about Mo Pete. You know, you can go down the list of guys from Michigan State, you know, Mateen Cleaves. You know, those guys, you know, they kind of, you know, put Michigan State back on the map, because Michigan State was down. I mean, when we were in school, you know, you didn't hear about Michigan State like that other than Steve Smith. And so, you know, now, you know, Michigan State has taken over the ramp somewhat, I would say. I mean, B-Line was making it happen with kids that were not, you know, your so-called McDonald's All-Americans or your blue chippers coming out of high school. He was able to develop talent. And so with Juwan being there, he's going to be able to do that. Plus, he has the NBA pedigree that's going to attract those blue chippers, because let's be honest here. You know, all kids want to play in the NBA. Most kids is trying to get to college. They want to play in the NBA. That's why they pick the schools that they do, because that's their dream. And Juwan's going to be able to sell them that dream and give them an honest opportunity to come in and develop and do that. And who else better to do that than someone who's already been there? I always tell people, if you want to be a doctor, don't learn from a plumber. And that's what we have now. We got a doctor at the helm now. Yeah, picking up the pieces right where Coach B-Line left off. You know, I think Juwan's going to do an excellent job. You know, the first year is going to be tough. and it's give him a chance to establish his culture and his brand and see what he can do.
And before I hand it over to Hank, I think that's one of the things that, you know, as I was looking at it, you know, you have he has an opportunity possibly to talk to, I think, Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner's brother might be a possible. I think he was on campus last week. So part of it is cleaning that up and then, you know, obviously building his coaching staff. There's some existing coaches there on the roster. But it also provides an opportunity even to bring back some former Michigan players who are coaching. As well, who have people like Mark Hughes and some of these other guys who have been coaching places as well. So even building that culture, you know, getting some more folks who are from Michigan involved in that whole recruiting process as well. Do you see yourselves as alums being tapped a little bit more around that recruiting part?
Well, you know, I'm a Michigan man through and through. So if there's anything I can do to support the program and support Juwan, I'm here for him. You know, everyone has my phone number, so. Anything that I can do, and when I'm out on the circuit, I'm actually at a game right now, scouting a Spring League high school game. And I got on a Michigan fleece right now with a big M on it. So, you know, these kids see me when I walk in the gym, so they know about the maize and blue and the block M. And so I'm always represent the school, the university, the community. And all the rest of the guys will too. And that's why I thought this was a good hire. You know, just basically, you know, piggybacking off of B-line, you know, and keeping that momentum going. And you know, we're in good shape right now, man. You know, that's a family. Michigan basketball is a fraternity, and so whatever we can do to support the program, I'm sure everyone is on board.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We know you're out there and busy, and we'd love to be able to have you even come back and visit with us. You know, this is a good time in Michigan basketball, and, you know, I'd love to be able to engage you as we start to see this onboarding a little bit.
Sure.
But I also wanted to give you an opportunity, you know, as we always do in here, to talk a little bit about what you're doing. Because I think you're doing really good work with young folks.
Yeah, what I'm doing right now in terms of basketball, I run a organization called Nine Star Basketball Camps and Scouting Services. We're NCAA compliant, our scouting services, which means we can sell our scouting reports and distribute them to college programs throughout the country. We do combine and showcase events. Basically, our first part of our camps is all station skill stations, and then the second day is 5-on-5 games. So we streamline our games to college coaches during the dead period, so they can't come out. So it gives kids opportunities to get more exposure because the NCAA has cut back the live events, the live periods now, and so it's not as much exposure for kids who may per se fall through the cracks. And so we provide that alternative for kids and student athletes. To, you know, be seen by college programs. And so that's primarily what I do in terms of basketball right now. Previous to that, I was coaching at the JUCO level. I was the head coach in Seattle at a JUCO, was able to send, you know, close to 30 kids throughout a three-year span to four-year universities. And four of those kids are playing overseas now. So I feel good about that. Sorry if you guys hear a lot of noise in the background. Like I was mentioning to you guys, I'm at a basketball game right now.
No, we all good. We all good. Well, you know, we thank you for the time.
Before we go, I gotta get in, okay? I gotta holler at Sean real quick. Sean, it's been a long time since I've heard you, brother. You may not remember me. We go all the way back to the 1989 era. I'm cousin of Maurice and Chuck. You know, we used to sit around there and you used to talk about how much you used to love Sanford and Son back in the day, man. So we go all the way back to that time. Yeah, you know, we was kids then. But before you go, I just need for you to answer a question for me, okay? Of the team that won the national championship, saw the Fab Five, and so you of all people know the Michigan fan base. You know how fickle the Michigan fan base is. Help me to calm the Michigan fan base down about Juwan Howard, about his lack of experience not being as much of a factor as they're making it out to be.
Well, you know, for one, I mean, how do you expect him to get experience? You know, you have to give him the opportunity. And the other part of it is he has experience. I mean, he played 20 years in the NBA. I mean, and he's coached 6 years in the NBA. So that's a total of 26 years he's played and been around professional basketball. He was a high school All-American. And I'm not here to, you know, to toot Juwan's horn because the verdict is still out there if he's going to be able to get the job done. But in terms of his qualifications, who else is more qualified than he is, you know, that was available? And so the Michigan fan base has to give him an opportunity. You know, I see all the things that they're putting out there on social media in terms of, you know, walk him home and, you know, we can't wait to get started and see you on the sidelines. Then, you know, don't just say that. Believe in it and get a guy a chance.
I agree with you. And just
to add one more thing to that is that you can't lump one guy into a group of guys or a few guys that may have got involved or caught up in some controversy. You know, from what I understood during that time, Juwan Howard was squeaky clean. And so, you know, you can't lump Juwan Howard into that same group, you know, in terms of, you know, what happened with the fallout.
Yeah, I was going to say I think you're right on with that, and I think one of the things that I think is important to hit on this is I believe he graduated in 3 years, and so one of the things that we talk about excellence, I think he graduated before he left in 3 years, so I think people have to remember that.
No, he ended up going. He came back after his rookie year and got his degree.
It was after his junior year. So I mean, you know, when you think about that the whole idea of what it means to be a student athlete and fulfilling what you want to have in Michigan, he's done that. On top of that, I agree with you talking about, you know, giving a chance. I think all the advantages he have is that, you know, and what we're seeing with Penny Hardaway is that there's an awareness about who he is, and you know that as well, is that awareness about who he is. And how he approaches things will play well in home. So, you know, like you said, we got to give him a chance, see what's going on, but we can't deny that the energy's there. So there's a lot of positive energy.
Oh, no question about it.
Yeah. Well, hey man, no question. I'm not going to hold you. I want you to be able to do what you're doing at the school there, but I would say this. We always want to bring you back to RSG, brother. Anytime you're on here, we love having you. We appreciate you, and we will always try to promote what you're doing because we appreciate what you're doing for the young folks. So I want you to, you know, have a blessed evening, man, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Oh, anytime, man. I look forward to it, and I always have a good time talking to you guys, man. And, you know, especially when we're talking about the schoolhouse and Michigan and Ann Arbor and Detroit, you know, that's the stumping grounds, man. And, you know, we did some great things during that era, so it's always fun to reminisce and talk about the stuff. And it's an exciting time in Michigan basketball right now. You know, bringing back one of the Fab Five members, one of our own, and just, you know, taking our program to the next level. You know, we need some more banners up there, man.
That's it. So get out there and get your tickets, people. And we want to thank again our man, Sean Higgins, member of the 1989 National Championship team, former NBA player, did everything at all levels, and now he's developing that next generation of talent, man. Sean, be well, man, and until next time.
All right, likewise, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Sean Higgins, y'all, it's great to have that kind of insight, you know, at this time. You know, RG, we try to push it up, y'all. I want to bring Hank and Darnell back in. Definitely want to respect his time. I thought he brought us a lot of interesting things that we can debrief about. Let me start with you, Darnell. You had a chance to kind of just sit back and, you know, because you come from a different generational perspective, in some ways you grew up, you know, at that time seeing a lot of the Flintstones and everything else in Go Green. But like you said, you might be showing up in Chrysler Arena a couple of times because there's something about that. You know, what did you kind of take away from this conversation and what you've been hearing?
Well, I got a lot of love for the Fab Five, Jalen Rose, especially because I've been listening to the Jalen and Jacoby podcast since I was a sophomore in high school, and that was good. That was 2012, so I've been listening to the show for a good 6-7 years. So I'm pretty fond of that era of U of M basketball and stuff. So just the whole energy around the situation. You'll probably see me at a couple games if Juwan Howard's there. But like I said earlier, I grew up a State fan because, like Sean was saying earlier, it's just the era that kids grew up in. Like nowadays, most of the guys around the area, we're going to State because we grew up watching Morris Peterson, Zach Randolph, Jason Richardson, Messini Cleese, Shannon Brown, Draymond Green, that whole generation of players. And Michigan wasn't necessarily on the same level. But now with Juwan Howard, maybe they can get some of the new blue chip prospects coming up. So that could be a good thing for Michigan basketball and for things to come.
I think those are really good points. And Hank, you provided a different perspective. I mean, you've been able to see this arc, man. You able to see. I talked to you, my brother Steve. I mean, y'all been watching, Michigan basketball, since some runs in the 70s when they had them great teams, and you've kind of seen this arc and this ebb and flow over time. Like, how do you want to reflect on this? I hope I'm not getting it too much into your drop the mic segment, but how do you, as you hear Sean speak, how would you want to tie the bow up with that?
Listen, I think this is a great hire for Michigan, okay, because what I have really been frustrated with over the course of the time from the time we spoke last week about the potential of Juwan Howard potentially being Michigan's new head coach, is this whole dark cloud that some of the fan base wants to cast over what the Fab Five did, and in particular a couple of players. But the thing that frustrates me the most is the one model citizen that came out of the Fab Five, not that Ray King, Ray Jackson, or Jimmy King weren't model citizens, or even Jalen Rose or Chris Webber, okay? But we know what we know about certain players. But Juwan Howard, after Jalen Rose, after Chris Webber went pro, he took that team himself, carried them on his shoulders to the Elite Eight, okay, and almost beat Corliss Williamson and the Arkansas Razorbacks, who ended up winning the national championship that year. Okay, he went on to have a successful career in the NBA and become a coach. He also graduated from the University of Michigan. He should be the one prodigal son that the fan base should welcome back and give an opportunity to. All right, but no one is seeing that. And that's the thing about it right now that kind of is frustrating. If you're going to take a chance on a man that you know is going to have passion for the job because he knows what's going on here. I'm happy for the hire. And let me just take a step back, too. All right, he needs to be given his time, as Sean said, to figure out what it is and how he's going to do the thing because he has passion. He wants to be here. All right, when John Beilein and the job he did was stellar in the last 6 years. All right, and I'm not trying to throw no shade, but in the last 6 years, his job was stellar. In the first 6 years, he just was keeping the program out there. He didn't get on the map until after 2013. Don't forget that. But the fan base and it gave him a chance to figure it out. Juwan Howard deserved that same chance. I applaud the hire. I'm glad to see that the Michigan basketball alumni is in his corner 110% and go blue. And let's see what happens.
Hey, I agree with that. I mean, I think one of the things that I love about these hires and some of these majors is in basketball, that one sport is diversifying the face of college basketball. I mean, I think where people are struggling so much, what's happening with Penny is Penny's out here taking players and doing things and winning in ways that people only think Coach K should be doing, and it's throwing people off a little bit that he's having all the success. But if you think about it, you shouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's Lil Penny. These folks, these youngins got YouTube as well. They saw the 30 for 30 as well. They know what he brings to the table.
Right.
And there's something about understanding the game, particularly as he's saying, these players are trying to prepare to play at the NBA level. And these guys know what it takes to actually get there. And so, you know, part of what he's going to have to do is, you know, try to maintain some of the staff. He's got some really good assistant coaches. Some of them were interviewed to be the head coach. And he's got to figure out, you know, his ability to keep some of those. Obviously, he's got his own names on the list, but he's got some really good ones in-house. And then he's got some recruits. If he can recover a couple of these recruits with what he has there, he could have a promising team. You know, if he can figure out how to get Wagner's brother to come over rather than doing 1 year in the pros, that's a guy that's a blue chipper and who can come in and play right away. So he's got –
And
know,
how do you think
– Huh?
What do you think about the possibility of LeBron's son or Dwayne Wade's son coming to Michigan because of their relationship with Juwan Howard?
That, I mean, a lot of people have been talking about that, the possibility of Wade's son and LeBron's son coming to Michigan because they know what they're going to get. And both of them really don't trust these systems. And so they're going to be looking for somebody they trust to not only play the basketball part, but to raise the kids. Guys like Dwayne and LeBron have a different understanding of what they want to have at the college level. They can already talk to the kids about what it's going to mean to be in the pros. They're sending their kids to college for that total experience, however long they stay. And so I think you're going to see some of the excitement is those kids. And I don't know how, maybe is Pippen's kid already ready to go? I mean, you got Pippen's, you got a lot of these ex-pros, you know, these former stars or people retiring or whatever, who have their young people who are at these ages to perform. You know, if they would have hired him probably a month or two ago, he might have got Anthony's son, you know, who went to North Carolina. You know, so, you know, those are the kind of players who are coming through the pipeline right now that he might have access to because people know what they're getting. So you're right. I mean, I think this is interesting. And you know he knows the X and O's. If he spent all that time down in Miami with Spoelstra and all that, you ain't got to worry about game management. That part is the part people worry about. And he's already – he can walk into Chicago in ways we haven't been able to walk to Chicago in years. So there are places he can walk and go. So I think you're right, but I don't think he's going to need as much time as John Beilein needs, like 6 years to make it happen. I don't think that's going to be his trajectory.
No, he's not.
Doesn't mean he wins a national championship, whatever, but you're talking about having a highly competitive preseason rankings, you know, in the top 10, being in that conversation on a consistent basis, having a top 10 recruiting class in that conversation, that won't take him very long. You know, does that result in two championship appearances right away? Maybe not, could, whatever. Those are to be determined. Well, hey, guys, I want to thank y'all for putting this all together. As I told you, we cannot leave this one without having our man, Hank, do what he got to do to drop the mic. We got to have the elder do it. So, Hank, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. You know, it's been a lot of great conversation tonight. But I want to have a little lighter drop the mic this evening. And it's going to be on my passion, and that's baseball. But it's not going to be like what you think. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm perusing the sports page, and I'm trying to see, you know, what's going on in baseball that's a little bit off the cuff, that's not just in the mainstream that anybody can see. And all of a sudden, I look up. And I see that Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, you know, is suing a magazine for catching him in a compromising position. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow, Alex Rodriguez is caught in a compromising position. All right, now what do I know about him? I know that his wife, you know, is J-Lo. You know, Jennifer Lopez, maybe they caught them doing something. My God, you know, this must be really juicy, spicy. So, you know, and you know, when you're a celebrity, you have to be careful of these sort of things. You just got to be careful because everybody's trying to catch you doing something you don't want to be seen. All right, and get out there. However, I don't think that whoever took this picture of Alex Rodriguez, either he should be fired or they should give him therapy. Because this is not one I think anybody in their right mind is trying to see nor wants to have ingrained into their vision. I find out later that the picture that was taken of Alex Rodriguez in a compromising position caught him with the blinds open taking a dump. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you're going to sue somebody for doing this. Somebody please help me understand why I want to open up a browser and see such foolishness. I would absolutely not. Nor would I call my lawyer if I'm Alex Rodriguez and said, you've got to sue for this. My integrity has been compromised. You've got to be out of your mind. You know, you've got to be crapping me, Alex Rodriguez. Y'all have a good night.
Mm-hmm.